Amy Pettit. Welcome, Amy.
Good morning, Mike.
Let's begin this edition of Ag Matters.
Okay. Well, good morning, Rain, and thanks so much for joining us for Ag Matters this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting me this morning, Amy. We're excited to be here this morning.
Yeah. I've been talking about having you on the show for a couple of weeks now because I am so excited to talk about your woolly pigs. And we've gotten some fun questions on the different Facebook posts I've seen. And so let's kind of just jump right into this whole woolly pig issue and talk to us about what they're really called.
Sure. It's the Mongolitsa pig, and it's pronounced Mongolitsa. And in Hungary, they're a pig. They call them the Mongelica pig. But here in America, we call them the Mongolitsas, and a lot of people know them as the woolly pig. And,
yep.
You know, this is just such an amazing breed of pig. And who wouldn't love a pig that comes from a country named Hungary?
Right? Well, and I've learned something already because I've always called them Mongolitsas. So now I'll have to correct myself and start saying it correctly with Mongolitsa.
Mongolitsa, yes.
Okay, so they come from Hungary, and they have hair, right? If folks haven't seen the pictures on our Facebook page or on your Facebook page, they kind of have this kinky, kind of longer hair. I mean, because all pigs have hair, right?
Right, and the hair is real coarse on the outside, but what makes the Mongolitsa an amazing pig is it has this undercoat of fur or wool, and when you feel it, it feels just like wool. And it looks,
really?
Yes, and it looks just like a sheep. So some people think that we have crossed a sheep and a pig together, which is impossible, but we've gotten those questions before, and I like to play along with them and say, of course, that's what we, you know, the ram got into the sheep, to the pig pen one day, and they made the Mongolitsa.
It's just an accident, right?
But that's not the case. So you look at them, they look like sheep. The wool, I mean, we call it wool, but it's really hair. It's just an undercoat, and it feels like wool. It has properties like wool. And in Hungary, they actually use the hair from the Mongolitsa pig, and they make expensive Hungarian men's suits.
That was one of the questions that we got on some of the social media posts was, is there any use for the wool? So in Hungary, they use it. That's fascinating to me.
Sure. There is a use for it. It would take a lot of effort and a lot of pigs to get maybe what one sheep would get. But if somebody was ambitious enough to do that, there is that possibility.
Okay. And from my perspective, though, these woolly pigs, what makes them better suited for Alaska then is they can be outside more. They can tolerate our winters. Like, talk to us about that.
Absolutely.
More...
So when my wife and I set out to raise pigs here in Alaska, it's not like, you know, growing up in the lower 48 where you have different kinds of breeds of pigs and pretty much any breed would work. I wanted to find a breed of pig that would be more suitable to, you know, the harshness of Alaska's weather. And it all arrows pointed right to the Mongolitsa pig. These pigs do amazing here in Palmer. And, you know, we had that harsh weather a few weeks ago where it's dipping into negative 20 degrees. And it's really hard to go out there 2-3 times a day and chip ice and break the waters open for these pigs. And our Mongolitsas are housed right next to our Berkshires and our Duroks and our Gloucestershire Old Spotted Pigs. And, you know, the Duroks were huddled into their huts with a full bale of straw, and the Mongolitsas were standing outside looking at me like, let's get this going. they're just troopers when it comes to Alaskan weather, and it seems like it doesn't faze them. You know, I was out there late last night, and the wind's just whipping through Palmer. And once again, the Duroks are in their hut, and the Mongolitsas are standing at the fence waiting for me to feed them. So,
wow, that's incredible.
It is incredible. The other thing I noticed was there was a day where I just couldn't keep the waters open, and I went and I was chipping ice, and I'd throw the big blocks of ice out of the water trough, and I'd throw it down on the ground, and the pigs weren't even coming and drinking out of the open water. They were actually chomping on the ice. And
oh my God.
I've never seen a pig do that before. And I was just looking at them. And I said, wow, we sure picked the right breed of pig to bring to Alaska.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I just want to let people know, if there's any folks out there that are listening that might have a question for Rain about the woolly pigs, you can call in this morning while we're live on the radio between 7:30 and 8 a.m. And the phone number is 907-745-8951. So I just want to throw that out there. Rain would love to take your questions, but I've got more questions. So there aren't very many of these mongolitsas around in Alaska. Is that right? You're one of just a couple of guys that has them so far. Is that correct?
That's correct. Brian Schmidt up in Fairbanks has a couple, and then we have some down here in Palmer. And they're rare in the world anywhere. In Hungary, their country of origin, there's only 7,000 sows. And, and in the United States, there's probably only 1,000 sows right now. But they're growing. They came to the United States in 2007, and they're growing each and every day. I hear of more people getting into the Mongolitsa breed.
Okay. So apart from this ability to withstand Alaska's harsh winters, what else makes these Mongolitsas great?
So the Mongolitsa, first of all, it's a rare breed. And there's just the whole fact that you can be a part of something to help a rare breed. There's a lot of people here in Alaska, and I'm just encouraged to see how many people out here are raising heritage type hogs. Anybody can go to the store and buy a pork chop, and you're providing protein for your family. But there's a different experience of buying a pasture raised, a heritage hog. And there's a lot of great people here in Alaska doing that. Alex Davis brought the large black breed into Alaska, and he's doing a tremendous job there. And he's got a meat market in Anchorage, and he's selling a lot of delicious, good tasting pork that's raised in a different way. And, there's people here in Palmer that have brought in red wattle pigs. Mike Moore brought in some red wattle pigs, and what a great breed that is. And people are bringing up Berkshires and Durocs and Tamworths and Hereford pigs. And these are all heritage breeds that the commercial operations, the large commercial operations, don't give a look at because they're not production oriented. And that's not our goal. Our goal is to produce something that's wonderful, something that's something that's going to be amazing. When you sit down and have a pork chop or you have bacon, you don't want to just eat something that's from the store. You want to provide your family with something that's going to make you sit back in your seat and go, wow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of small-time pig breeders here in Alaska, up in Fairbanks and down on the Kenai and here in Palmer, that are setting out to do that. And there's a lot of good things going out there. So when my wife Marion and I were looking at a breed, she's the one that actually discovered this breed of pig. And she looked at it and she showed me the picture on the internet. And I said, no way, we're not going to get anything like that. And of course, she kept pushing me. And the opportunity came up where we could get a Mongolitsa pig here in Alaska. And I've fallen in love with this breed. Their temperament, their temperament is amazing. I could have my younger kids, 4 and 6 years old, in the pen with them. Some other breeds, you just can't do that. Each breed has its characteristics. Sure. And the Mongolitsa breed is just a breed that really fit for us. We wanted to be a part of preserving a rare breed. The numbers got down to 200 pigs in Hungary, and almost went into extinction. And a guy named Peter Toth in Hungary, he's the one, it's a great story. He was sitting around with one of his friends, and they were having a few beers, and they were tasting the most amazing sausage and salami that they've ever had. And they asked the Hungarian woman who was making the sausage for them, they asked, what is this? We've never had anything like this before. And she introduced them to the Mongolitsa breed. And she told them, hey, we're done here. This breed's, there's only 200 pigs left. And she said they're all heading to slaughter. And over a beer, Peter Toth and his friend, they decided to save the breed. And they bought all 200 pigs. And he says the biggest mistake they ever made was they slaughtered two of them to kind of see what they would taste like and what they would do. And they were down to 198 pigs. But they brought those 198 pigs back to numbers to 50 and 60,000 in Hungary. And they found some other genetic lines in Austria, and they were able to preserve the breed. And there's actually a Mongolica festival in Budapest every year. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, and someday it's going to be a dream of mine to go there. But
I was going to say, is that on your bucket list?
It is. It is. But it's just – it's a festival of sausage and hanging in the streets and all the different preserved and salted and cured meats that you can make with this breed. It's just wonderful.
So one of the things that I've heard about these pigs is that like the lard or the fat content in the meat is way higher than different kinds of pork. Have you found that to be true with your Mongolitas? Is there kind of a different quality to the meat?
Yes. So there's basically, a couple different kinds or types of swine breeds out there. And normally they're known as your bacon type or your lard type. And, now we would have a third type, which would be your lean muscle type of pig.
Okay.
And it depends what your end goal is. And the lard is probably the real prize of this pig. And there's so many things you could do with lard. And, the American diet, we've gotten away from animal fats and we've gotten away from lard. But we switched them to hydrogenated oils and vegetable oils that are probably not good for us, that are high in trans fatty acids.
Yeah.
Margarine. And, we did that for economics. I mean, it's a lot easier to make margarine than it is to raise a pig. And
right.
Most pigs were produced for their lard qualities. And we've gotten away from that. And people really haven't really tried a pork chop until you've tried a pork chop from a breed, a heritage breed, that was fed the right things, that was raised the right way, and that is probably a lard type. And it's a different experience than you're going to experience than buying your pork in the store.
Sure. And I have found in my lifetime of eating pasture-raised animals versus feedlot-raised animals that it often even looks different. The first time I had a kind of a pasture-raised chicken, it didn't taste like what I thought chicken tasted like, right? I mean,
right.
It actually tasted completely different, and I'm sure the pork is a similar situation, right?
It is, and
yeah.
the a lot of restaurants and chefs are excited about this breed, and if people are familiar with the French Laundry in Yountville, California, Napa County, the French Laundry was one of the first restaurants to put Mongolica on their menu, and it's been
a
staple. It's remained there on their menu, and if Chef Keller could put Mongolica on his menu, then I definitely want it on my table at home.
Right. So I want to quickly remind folks that this morning on Ag Matters Radio, we're talking to Rain Resnell of Frozen Oak Farms. Is that right, Rain?
That's correct, Frozen Oak Farms.
Frozen Oak Farms, and we're talking about the Mongolica pig. And if folks have questions while we're live this morning, the phone number is 745-8951. All right, so let's get into the important stuff, Rain. If you have piqued people's interest, and first off, let's talk about live animals. So you're raising these Mongolicas, and if people are interested in getting into raising them themselves, are you the guy to come to?
Yeah, I'm one of the guys that they can come to. Definitely there's Brian Schmidt up in Fairbanks, too, that has them available. But, we're willing to help anybody who wants to start raising their own pigs. And I think everybody should experience raising a pig in their backyard at least once and really go through the whole process of letting their children know exactly where their meat comes from. And when you feed a pig yourself, you know what goes into it. There's no better prize and accomplishment than putting a piece of pork on your dinner plate. And you said, wow, that's something that I accomplished. And if you're going to do it, why not go for the best? And,
right.
I think you'd be okay with any heritage breed out there. I mean, each one has its own qualities. But if you want something elite, if you want something that's beyond any other breed out there, then a Mongolica or a Mongolica crossbred pig would be a good choice. And,
I wanted to ask you about that, about crossing them. And so you've gotten into that. And what... what's the hybrid vigor that you're seeing, or what's your favorite cross so far?
So a lot of people have been crossing them here in America for the last couple of years, and I've called them and I've just reached out to them and I've asked them what are the better crosses. And a lot of people like what we're calling the Berkelitsa, which is a Berkshire Mongolitsa cross.
Okay.
And we're just getting into now. Sean Jones has some Duroc Mongolitsas in the Wasilla area. And okay. We're just now getting into crossing them with the Durocs and the other breeds. But I did something really special this year. And we did two things that I'm excited about, and we'll see how it turns out. But we have a Gloucestershire Old Spotted Pig, which is another wonderful heritage breed out there. And Janet Otto is probably the champion here in Alaska for raising the, what do we call them, the Old Spotted Pigs or the GOS pigs. But I was able to, we have a Gloucestershire Old Spotted Pig, and her name's Elizabeth. And we took Elizabeth and we bred her to our Mongolitsa boar named Hans, after Han Solo, yes, reference to Star Wars.
Great.
Our black boar is the swallowbelly boar. He's Vader. So you can see what kind of influence we have in our house. But we took the GOS pig and we bred it to our Hans boar, and we made Gloucestershire Listas and or Old Spotted Pig Mongolitsa crosses. And we're excited to see what those do. And they're going to have a faster growth rate. And hopefully they have the same properties that the Mongolitsa does. As I mean, you're going to improve the pork quality no matter what. And I
sure.
guess that's where this breed stands alone, is the pork quality is just going to be a little higher than the other breeds out there, like the Cooney Coonies or the Red Wattles or the Gloucestershires or the Berkshires. It's just going to be something different. Something new for people to try, and we're very fortunate that Alaska is a place that we can raise them, and that soon people are going to have an opportunity to try their own.
Yeah. So when you cross with the Mongolitsa, do you always get the hair with the babies? Do you always get the wool?
So far from the people that I reached out to, yes, I've seen pictures of Hampshire Mongolitsa crosses. And basically, they're belted pigs that look like a Hampshire with wool, or long hair. So it seems like that's one of the dominant traits. I'm not too familiar with it yet, but so far it seems like a dominant trait.
Yeah, you posted a picture to my page, and that I shared with the Farmland Trust page of some babies. Are those current babies? They had stripes and spots and all sorts of things going on. Are those current babies?
Yes, those are current babies, and we're excited about that. One of my partners, Chuck Lee, up on Lazy Mountain, he's helping to breed these pigs, and we did something just fantastic that we're super excited about. And what we did was we bred a Mongolitsa pig, or Hans boar, once again, to one of his Berkshire, Yorkshire, Hampshire cross sows. And so this is a first. I don't think anybody's ever done this in the world. So Chuck Lee has one of the first Hampshire, Yorkshire, Berkshire Mongolitsa crosses in the world. And that's something neat to think about. And we're excited to see how fast those pigs grow. Because basically we took a lean muscle known pig, and
right.
we crossed it with a pig that has absolute amazing flavor and pork quality. And we're going to try to put the growth rates together with the pork quality of the Mongolitsa. And so hopefully the hybrid vigor kicks in. And so far, I mean, those pigs are growing really, really fast.
That's incredible. So if a person is interested in getting on your list or contacting you to talk about buying a baby or just asking questions, what's the best way to get a hold of you, Rain? Do you want folks to reach out through your Facebook page, or is there another way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the best way is to go to our Facebook page, Frozen Oak Farms, and shoot me a message. Our telephone number is there if you want to give me a call or a text message. And that's probably the best way. There's a lot of information on our Facebook page, pictures of our kids out feeding the pigs and things like that. And
In a couple of months, you have, because I know you're also very involved with the 4-H program and with sheep as well, right? And I noticed
yes.
that you have a farm day coming up, or you'll have to tell me the name, but if folks wanted to come see your pigs, is that a good day to come see, or is that strictly for the 4-H kids?
No, that's a great day for people to come out. It's May 6th. We're having a 4-H show pig and lamb auction in the Butte. And they can get more information at Frozen Oak Farms Facebook page as well. But we're partnering with Dr. Sabrina Holland out at Kinnick River Veterinarian and Kinnick River Ranch, and Chuck Lee and the Pratt Family Farms, Jenny Wren with her sheep, her breeding stock. And we're partnering with all these farms, and we're getting together, and we're having a one-day, we're having a live auction. We're going to be selling off lambs.
Oh, wow.
And so there'll be an auctioneer there, and the kids get to participate in a live auction. And then we'll also have an opportunity for some of the 4-H kids to participate in a swine knowledge quiz. And we're doing something really special this year. And thanks to our partners and our supporters, we're offering a free pig to a 4-H member, $300 value.
Wow.
So whoever scores the highest on the swine knowledge test gets a free show pig this year. So and that's going to be Chuck Lee and Dr. Sabrina Holland sponsoring that. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's great, Rain. Very good. And so, again, there's more information about that day on your Frozen Oak Farms Facebook page. And but will there be Mongolitzas and some of these crosses on display that day for if folks are just interested in seeing that side of things?
We will have some of those crossbreds on display that day. There's been a few kids that have expressed to us that they know that they can't compete in the show world with a Mongolitza pig, but because of the novelty of it, and they just want a woolly pig in Alaska, that's what they're going to take to the fair this year. So I know of two kids that have already signed up, and they're going to take a Mongolitza or a Mongolitza cross to the fair this year, and we'll get a chance to see them at the Alaska State Fair too.
Yeah, well, it sounds like there's enough of them around, all these different old breeds that you've mentioned, that maybe we need to get the fair to have an open old heritage breed show or something, you know, to get more of them there at the fair. Wouldn't that be fun?
We do. We need to have some breeders out there step up and support maybe a heritage class. And you know, the 4-H'ers, great organization, is an organization that I believe in. When the kids can raise a quality product, like how we're raising these pasture bred pigs, and they're able to go to the fair and show that pig. I mean, we're just going to get more customers when people taste
Absolutely.
This pig. So it's a different pig than a show pig, and
sure.
People need to realize that. But as far as pork quality, and you know, I'd much rather have a Mongolitza on my plate than any other breed. So and
yeah.
One thing I need to point out, Amy, you said what's the most like amazing part about this breed?
Is
the meat marbles like beef? And marbling is the interior flex of fat in the meat, and fat equals flavor.
Flavor is, yeah.
Yeah, and when, you know, a lot of times you'll see a pork chop that doesn't marble, and there's a few breeds out there that do, like there's a lot of people here raising coonies, and they'll see some marbling and things like that in the meat, but the Mongolitza is, you know, it's the Wagyu, it's the Kobe beef of the pork world.
Very good. So now you've got everyone's taste buds humming, and we're all wondering the same thing. How do we get our hands on one of those pork chops if we're not in the position to raise our own pig or have one in the backyard? Where do you sell your meat, and is there a waiting list for that, and how do we get on it?
So we have not been able to raise any Mongolitzas for pork production yet, but we're excited. This is our first year, and we're going to be sending some to Mount McKinley Meats here at the end of April, beginning of May. But there's going to be a very limited supply. And hopefully next year we're going to raise enough that we can raise quite a bit where we can really start selling the meat. We have our Duroc and our Berkshire pork available. But as far as the Mongolitza, this May is going to be the first time. And I'm really hoping that I can partner with some chefs in Anchorage or out here and get it on the plate of their menus. And once that's done, then we could tell them, hey, go to this certain restaurant, and that's going to probably be your best chance to try the Mongolitza pig.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if you need an organization to host a tasting event for you, Alaska Farmland Trust is ready to do that.
Yeah, I would be willing to. That would be a great opportunity to maybe, you know, announce the Mongolitza pork to the state of Alaska.
Yeah. So here's my thought. You know, I live up here on the Pitchfork Ranch, and my husband's cousin's family, Todd, he raises the bison and the elk, and we happened to build our house kind of right out here in the middle of a bison pasture, and so I often reference them as my nemesis neighbors. They like to lick on my car and get right in our space, and they don't have a lot of respect for our little house. And so I've been thinking that I think if I had a woolly pig in my yard, that the bison might stay out of my yard. They might look at that woolly pig and not want anything to do with my yard. So that's one of the things I've been thinking about, is that they'd help keep the bison at bay.
Well, it'd be worth a shot, Amy.
Yeah, those bison, they have no respect for my golden retriever, but maybe if I had a woolly pig in the yard, they'd back off a little bit.
So we have, my wife has one of our woolly Mongolitsa pigs, she's probably the queen of the farm, and her name's Rosalbaugh, and she sits like a dog. We took her to the state fair this past year, and there's a lot of people that got to see her sit for her food, and pigs are intelligent animals, they're fun to have around. We enjoy having them around our kids and letting our kids get to experience the farm life, and they've just been a real treasure of a breed for us.
Yeah, good stuff. Man, this has just been such a fascinating conversation, and I know we are just about out of time looking at the clock. The one thing that, and I don't know if you and I have talked about this, Rain, before, but I was in Michigan a couple of years ago on a kind of a farm tour adventure when I worked for the Division of Agriculture, and there was a situation going on there with a farmer who had Mongolitsa pigs, and they were considered invasive species in the state of Michigan, and he was kind of being threatened that he was going to have to get rid of his herd. Did you hear anything about that story, or have I asked you about this before?
No, you haven't asked me about it before, but yes, it was Baker Farms in northern Michigan, and the problem that they were having is they were also raising the Russian breed of pig, and the authorities up there were confusing the Mongolitsa, which is a real breed of pig. I mean, it's one of the oldest breed of pigs out there, with a registry in Hungary. I mean, these are registered stock in Hungary, and they were confusing those pigs with the feral or the Russian pigs, like a wild Russian Eurasian boar, which, you know, isn't a breed of pig that's been domesticated and has lineage and things like that. So they were confusing them, because the Mongolitsa pigs, the baby piglets, come out striped just like the Russian pigs do. And they were giving him a lot of issues up there, but they've resolved it up there, and the farmer has prevailed, and so things are in a lot better shape up there.
Okay, good to hear that. I'm glad that that worked itself out. I think I was in Michigan kind of right when it was hitting the news, and kind of was a difficult situation for the. I happened to be on tour with one of the communication officers for the State Department of Agriculture, and she was kind of pulling her hair out trying to figure out how to tell the story accurately to the public. So anyway, I'm glad to hear that got resolved. So any closing final thoughts, Rain, before we wrap this up about these Mongolitsa pigs?
Yeah, you know, I would just encourage people to go out there if you're gonna buy a pig to put in your freezer this year, to try a heritage breed. And Mongolitsa is just one of those breeds that you can try. And there's a lot of great pig farmers out there that will have pigs for sale this spring. And I just go on to Facebook, Alaska Food, and their page. And
Farm and Food. Yeah.
Farm and Food. And look for farmers who are selling different pigs in your area. And go support the local farmers in Alaska Grown. And if you want something spectacular, try a Mongolitsa.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Rain, for joining us this morning. Sorry I couldn't make it into the studio and buy you a coffee afterwards, but I'll give you a rain check on that, okay? I owe you a coffee for being on the show this morning.
Thank you, Amy, for having us and our Mongolitsa pigs on the radio this morning. We sure appreciate it.
Right, and thanks both of you to doing another edition of Ag Matters. We had a call attempt come in, but we had a little problem making that happen. It wasn't because of lack of interest, but listening to you guys, you had certainly plenty to talk about.
Yeah. Coming up next week, Mike, we're going to talk about hemp production in Alaska. And we've got Jack Bennett is going to be our guest, and we're going to talk about Senate Bill 6 and the other legislative action that might be happening regarding legalization of hemp production in the state. So looking forward to that.
And I am standing here looking at your guest wearing a hemp hoodie, actually,
oh,
right now. Okay. Well, thank you again.